No, I'm doing the polite thing. I allow people to come off, and then I come on. Okay. No, 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 not at all. Not at all. Well, it's good to be back. I feel a need to clear some things up with you today. Man, am I glad that when I came in today, nobody said to me, break a leg. Last time I was here, like two or three people said that. I went downstairs, went to go to the bathroom, and on the way come back, I missed a step and I almost broke my leg. The other thing I want to clear up is that I'm not afraid of children. I'm glad they're up here today. In fact, I'd rather hang out with them than the adults. So I'm glad they're here. And then one other thing. Did you ever see a worship minister break a sweat and get very nervous? I did this morning. Pastor Nick looked at me in the suit jacket and he said, do you always dress this way? And he started shaking because he thought, you know. I said, no, we're actually going to a retirement party after this. I said, don't get used to this. Actually, this is kind of stiff for me, but I'm going with it today. And then the very last thing, and I promise I will never do this again, but there has been vicious rumors going around the church that I'm really not married, that my wife is make-believe. So, Kathy, will you please stand up? I did that to convince some of you who doubt. God knows I will pay for that for the rest of the day. But I had to do it just the same. Anyway, good to be with you today. I count it a privilege and an honor and a gift to spend this time with you, and thank you for having us back. Today I want to speak to you about expectations. And we're going to turn to Acts chapter 3, or at least I'm told it will be up on the screen. You got to bear with me. I'm not used to things like this thing around my ear and it's coming out in front of my face. I was hugging people and kissing them and this thing was like getting popped off. And Joe Rubicon hugged me and the whole thing just came right off my head. But having to get used to things like this, and then, of course, with the message and the sermon text will be up overhead. So today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And we're going to peek in on an individual, so three actually individuals that are going to interact with one another. It's the end of the day, turning around 3 o'clock. And Peter and John meet up, and they are going to do something that they normally do, and that is to go and pray. And our verse starts with this. It says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. As I look out this morning, as I'm here with you today, I see my family. I see aligned across the back row my family from Lowe's, who I spend a lot of time with and I have grown to love and to care for and to hold them and cherish our relationships in my heart. I see the North Shore Church family who I've spent nine precious years. We have had a journey of it. It has not always been easy. We have struggled together, we have cried together, we have laughed together, we have mended and healed together. And that kind of time and those kinds of experiences, well, they just come with walking it out day in and day out with each other. And then I look out and I see my Patchogue family, who has been kind enough to invite us as a church to be here for barbecues and to share faith with. And I am grateful for that. It is a good thing. And of course, I finally got my wife here. You don't want to know what I had to pay her to do it, but she's here. And of course, I look out and I see my granddaughters and my daughter and my son-in-law. And so it's all good. And when I look at you and I see you, I think that each and every one of us have expectations. They might not always be good, but we have expectations each and every day we engage in life. If you work for someone, your boss has expectations of what they want from you, what they want to see you deliver when you're on the clock. As employees, we have expectations that as we put in the hours, that at the end of the week, we'll receive that paycheck or we'll find something in our direct deposit because we put the time in. Husbands have expectations of wives, and wives have expectations of husbands. People begin to date, and immediately, expectations start to grow and form. The mind starts to move, the heart starts to shake, and things begin to happen. Couples, as they get married and have children, they become parents, and parents have expectations. I want my son and daughter to grow up this way or that way, to be well-behaved, to be respectful, to honor and respect adults, to be kind to other children. And children have expectations, especially when the holidays come along. And I want to say this, even pets, if you have any, have expectations. They expect to be fed, they expect to be watered, they expect to be walked, and you better do that. But even animals and pets have expectations. They need to be cared for. They're looking for something. In our story today, we have three men, just like you and I, made of the same material, who have expectations. Peter and John are expecting that as they go up for prayer at the temple, that when they get there and they spend that time at the temple, they will come away better people. That's the way we should come to church. Expecting that when we come here and we spend this time together, and much talk has been said today about being in the presence of God. Pastor John prayed that today. In being in his presence, if we are truly spending time with him, we should come away better people. Something should be changing in us. Well, that's what they were expecting. It was a routine of theirs, of course, but that's what they were expecting. Now, as they were coming up, there was another man involved in the story, and he too was expecting. In fact, every day he was into a routine. He had friends who cared for him, and every day they would carry him to that gate called Beautiful, and they would set him down, and they would go about their business. And he would spend those hours there begging. For John and Peter, it was a time of worship. For him, it was a time of survival, to get by, to make ends meet. That was his life. That was his routine. That's what he needed to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I have routines, you have routines. And there are times when those routines, even though they can be very good, can become very dry. We can kind of glaze over, in a sense, these habits, these practices. We can kind of lose ourselves in the things that we do, even in coming to church. Get hypnotized, because this is what we always do. I get up every Sunday morning, I get dressed, I get myself out the door, I try to get there on time. This is what we do. John and Peter did that day. And then they met this man, who in many respects in his own habits and practices, probably over time, becomes self-absorbed and very distracted. Because you see, he's got to get a job done. If he doesn't go and beg, he's not going to survive. He's not going to make it. And over time, our routines can drain the passion from our lives. And we can lose sight of any kind of hope or expectations. And I want to say to you today that God is in the business of working in our hearts and minds. He, above all things, wants to get our attention. And that's what he did in this case. You know, we can say that he got this man's attention, but this man had gotten John and Peter's attention. Otherwise, they might have just walked by and gotten and did what they normally do and head home. But his call for help got their attention, and they turned to him. And then God used Peter to get their attention. Interestingly enough, when I thought about it this week, after he is begging for money, because he sees them, it seems to me, I get the impression that he turned away. He just went on. I mean, he's covering a lot of ground. Probably they're not the only two people walking into the temple at that moment. There are other people coming, and he's wanting to cover the grounds, see, to get whatever he can. And so he probably looked away. And John and Peter, as they stepped up, Peter took the time to get their attention, to get his attention. He said, "Look at me. Look at us." And a man expecting help turned his attention to John. And on that day, he got more than what he was bargaining for. And I want to say to you, you and I go through every day and have our set of expectations. What maybe the drive to work will be like, what our interaction with our coworkers might turn out to be. Hopefully we won't be beaten up too much by our employer. That's getting tougher and tougher for us who work in corporate America, companies like Lowe's, because the whole mindset there now is getting more for less. Less people on the floor, but we expect you to get more done. So see how your expectations could kind of take a downturn? What do I expect today? I expect to be hassled. I expect to be ran. I expect to get tired and worn out. We all have expectations. And I want to say to you that God sees our expectations. And in many ways, he wants to enter into our presence and raise them, because our heads go down. And our hearts begin to sink at times. And we lose sight of hope. I can imagine that that was the case of that man. I mean, lame from birth. What does he have to hope for? Just to get by. He'll never walk, because he can never walk. His life is limited. What are his expectations? Have you ever felt that way? Man, my life is getting limited. I know I went to school, and when I get out of school, I was expecting this, but it just didn't pan out for me. Now I got to try that. Or we enter into a relationship with someone, we begin dating or seeing somebody, and we expect at first, wow, this is pretty good. I think this will work out. And things begin to sour. Or we enter into a marriage covenant. And you know what? For everyone who does, life gets difficult. It will try you. And we begin to get disappointed. And our expectations get lowered. And I want to say to you, in times like that, God wants to enter in. Because somebody needs to. Somebody has to enter in and give us hope. And give us courage. Because we only have so much, and that well will run dry. But there is one who can come along and make the difference. And this man wanted some financial help. But what he got in return was far beyond that. Because when God looked at him, God saw what he needed. And he got Peter's attention. And he brought to the table exactly what that man needed. Now we could say, yes, he was healed. He was raised. He got up. His whole life now is going to get turned around because of one little interaction, because one little dialogue that he had with two men. But what God saw that man needed was salvation. What he needed was to be healed. Throughout the Bible, we read about people being ill and sick, and it's always contributed to the fact that something is wrong. And sometimes that wrongness is due to that person's actions, but sometimes they're just born that way. Or their body breaks down. It wasn't that they did necessarily anything wrong. You see, when we look in the scriptures, many of the Jewish leaders and teachers of the time always wanted to contribute ailments to sin. There was a man in the temple who was blind. And Jesus' own disciples said, did he sin? Did his parents sin? And Jesus said, no, sometimes these things happen so that God can get glory. Bring that man to me. And Jesus mixed a little saliva and dirt, and he made mud, and he put it on that man's eyes, and he told him to go wash. And when he did, that man came back, and he could see for the first time in his life. Well, this man was lame all his life. And we don't know if he ever did anything wrong, or if his parents fouled up, or just that the man was broken. And everybody knows what it's like to be broken. Each of us have had moments in our lives where we have felt broken, maybe even hopeless, and wondering, how is this all going to come together? How can I pick up the pieces now of my life at this moment and get on with my life? How am I going to make it? And I want to say there is one, a God of miracles that we sang about this morning, who wants to come along and touch our lives. He knows exactly where the broken pieces are, and he knows how to make us new. The thing is, will we give him our attention? Now, quite often, you and I ask God for a good many things, but I think all along, all God wants is to hold your heart and my heart in the palm of his hands, to love us and to care for us, to give us a hope, to tell us that we do have a future, that we have something to look forward to. He just wants to touch our lives. Peter didn't just talk to him. He took his hand and he reached down for the man and he took him. And something wonderful happened. And I want to say to you that as Christians, we just can't afford to talk. Just can't afford to just talk. We need to act and live in love. Show the world around us that there is another way to do life. And I want to tell you, if you and I do that, people's lives can change. But we have to engage. We have to be willing to touch people. By the way, in that day and time, most people would have not touched that man. He was crippled. He was considered unclean. Don't touch him. You know, there was a reason why he wasn't allowed into the temple, because he was crippled. He was deformed. But you know, that never mattered to Jesus. In fact, Jesus dove into such circumstances. He went for it. He went for it. There wasn't anybody that was untouchable. You know? Not one. I love when I invite people to church, and a lot of times I'm told, you know, if I step through those doors, fire would come down. I would be consumed, or I'd be struck by lightning. I'm like, nonsense. Then you don't know God. Because that's the very person that God wants to touch. That's the very person that God wants you and I to invite. The one who doesn't feel good about their life. Who's hurting. Who doesn't, when they look in the mirror, they don't like what they see. And they can't imagine anyone, especially God, loving them. Because they know what they are. Just like I know what I am. And you know what you are. But God loves us just the same. And he came for the crippled. He came for the broken. Broken in heart. Broken in spirit. The imprisoned. You know how many people walk amongst us? They're not in jail, but they're in prison. In their lives, in their hearts. And they need to be set free. Just like this guy was needing to be set free. To be made to walk again. To be made to walk for the first time. That's what Christ came for. And that's what he set these men forward to do. And it was in their daily chores, could say, their religious routines, that God was able to interrupt what they were doing to bring them something different, something new. He took this man who would beg day in and day out. He was in his routine, and God interrupted him to do something new. I want to say to you and I, God wants to interrupt our lives. Now, it may not always be as wonderful and as pleasant as this, but God wants to interrupt our lives. And sometimes when heartache comes and people are hurting and we're praying for them or they need help. God is in the midst of allowing that to interrupt their lives because he wants to do something new. Every time you and I get disappointed, let down, God is on the verge of doing something new. Can you turn the table? Can you see life in a different way? I thought I had everything arranged. I thought everything was going to work out. I never imagined that this was going to happen or that was going to happen. And then something happens and turns everything upside down. God is now ready. He's positioned to do something new. Because it becomes taken out of our control. And isn't that what we heard today in prayer? Lord, we give this time over to you. It belongs to you. It's the reason why we come here. It's to give over to God what is God's. To just give him a small amount of time in our week to acknowledge him and to give thanks and praise. And to know that there's someone bigger than ourselves, someone greater than ourselves who loves us and is watching over us and who wants to take care of us. But will we look to him and will we allow him to interrupt our lives? Break into our routines. This is the way I always do it. This is the way we always do it. And God is saying, I understand that. But allow me to enter in. Allow me. Obviously, whatever these three men were looking for that day, well, they got more than what they were bargaining for. And I want to ask you today before we go, what are you looking for? What are you hoping for in your life? What do you hope your routines will yield you? What is it? What are you expecting to come from the habits and practices that you perform each and every day? Is God involved in those? Have we taken the time to invite the one who has made us, who formed us, who knows our beginning from our end, the one who knows the day upon we will arrive on this celestial ball and the day we will depart from it? What are you hoping for? What are you expecting? What is it that you're looking for? I want to tell you today that whatever it is, God knows best. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he wants to deliver his best, very best to you and his goodness to you. And it all starts with accepting his grace and experiencing his salvation for your life and for my life. 41 years ago for me, but my life has never been the same. Oh yeah, it's had its ups and downs. Life can be cruel and unkind. People abandon, people betray, the whole nine yards. People walk away from you. There's a lot of pain, but he remains. And he never leaves. Once he's entered, once he's invited, he never leaves. Even in your lowest points, even when you can be furious with God, angry. What did John talked about the gentleman who wrote that hymn today? Lost his wife? Didn't even get to start out life. I'm sure he had expectations to raise a family, to have beautiful children, to do life with them, and it was snatched from him. She dies by drowning. But God remains. He was angry, bitter, saddened, but he remains. God turns the tables. He can bring great things out of pain and sorrow, but it means coming to him in the name of Jesus of Nazareth and letting Christ's Spirit reign, like we sang about it today. Letting Christ's Spirit come and take you by the hand and fill your heart and make everything new. And I trust me when I tell you, if you are to do that, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, by the way. I don't care if you've never thought of entertaining the thought of coming to Christ. If you give God the time of day, he will change everything. And it doesn't happen instantly. Some things do, like that man But he had a lot of life ahead of him now. Here's a guy who never worked a day in his life. He's going to have to go out, find a job. Yeah, think about that. Everything up to that point was handed to him. Not anymore. Not anymore. Everything changes. And all it takes is just a little bit of faith. You see? To respond. See, Peter responded. I don't think Peter went thinking, hey, guess what I'm going to do today, John? No. And I don't think that man thought, you know, maybe, just maybe, I'll walk today. I highly doubt it. But God had something in mind. And I want to say to you and I get up every day, and I think our expectations are down here. And I know mine are. Until I go to my room and hit my knees and go before the living God, that's when I'm able to get up and put myself together and drive to Medford and throw on that red vest. I'm telling you, it's not easy. If you don't believe me, you ask my coworkers in the back row there. They know. They know I'm speaking the truth and I'm not lying. Once I do that, though, I'm ready to engage life. I'm ready to engage the customer. I'm ready to do what I need to do and what's expected of me. To do the right thing. To hopefully have the right attitude. And when I don't, go to the lunchroom, take a breather, take a break, and even take a power nap. If I have to. And most times I have to. Saying? It's because, though, if I did not start my day on my knees, I could not possibly ever be the man that God wants me to be. And that's a daily thing, by the way. That's my routine. That's my practice. And you could be sure I did the same thing before coming here today. More so. Because this is so much more important than pounding the cement floors at Lowe's. God, and I want to leave you with this, and I hope that you'll think about it, and I hope that God will take it and he will bring it back around to you, okay? Because, you know, we can do a lot of things, we can sing songs, and we can do a lot of talking, and certainly I can. But if the Holy Spirit isn't involved in this, and bringing this back around, and if we are not praying for one another, everything that goes on here could be very easily lost and easily forgotten. I want to say this to you, and I hope you take this with you. Verse 10 talks about it. He wants to fill your life and my life with wonder and amazement. And I know that even as it comes out of my mouth, you're going, what's he talking about? Wonder and amazement. You know, what are we, little children here? You know, take me to the playground or take me on a ride. And I want to say to you, yes, before God, we are all little children. And I think to a great extent, we have lost our innocence in this cold, cruel, and hard world. And God is saying, I am your father, and I love you, and what I want to do is bring wonder and amazement back into your life. If you would let me in, I will touch your life, and I will make everything new, and I will change it. But it means coming to me and remaining with me. Jesus did a lot of talking to a lot of people. And those, when he addressed them about being disciples of his, were those who didn't come and go like it was tomorrow's next show. What will he do today? What miracle will he make happen today? They came and they remained. They stayed with him. Where he went, they went. Where he slept, they slept. Where he ate, they ate with him. I want to tell you, God wants to do great and powerful things. He wants us to delight in him and have joy no matter what else is going on around us. And I want to tell you, you could have the worst days, but still have your heart and your faith and your spirit intact and know who you are and know who you belong to. And know that at a drop of a hat, in a minute, in a second, you can turn to him and pray. That it doesn't just have to be in a church. You could be walking down the street behind the wheel of your car, doing laundry, doing food shopping, doing whatever it is that you do, whatever your routines and practices are, and say, oh God, I need your help. Here I am. Will you touch me? Please touch me. Trust me, and if you will wait and do that, you will see God touch you. He will make it happen, just as he did for this man. And by the way, we are all different. We all have something that we need to have touched. This man was crippled, and he needed to walk and have a life, and God gave it to him. But I want to say to you, I think Peter and John needed something too that day, to see the risen Christ Spirit do something in and through them. See, because that's what the church is supposed to be about. Yes, we gather, yes, we sing, yes, we pray, but is God using us? God's using us. Now, I don't go around saying it every day, but when I head into work, my heart's cry is, oh, God, use me. Touch the people I have grown to love in this building. Touch the customer that you will bring my way. Use me. Use me. And I want to say to you, that should be the prayer of everyone of faith. Oh, God, use me. Take my life and do something good for someone else. Because this is all great and good. But it goes to waste if God is not taking it and multiplying it and using it to touch someone else's life, to bring some goodness and kindness and love and hope to someone else. That's what it's about. And so in a minute, we're going to sing the God of Miracles again. But before we do, I want to pray with you. I want to ask God to touch each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, today each of us woke up, obviously, we're here. And when we did, our minds began to roll, our bodies began to move. And Lord, we considered what was ahead of us this day, an expectation, and maybe a little nervousness, came into view. We knew that we would be somewhere with someone, doing something. Oh God, but did we think that you might be here? Lord, help us to remember that whether it is here or at work or whatever we do each and every day, you are ready to engage with us, that you so want to move in close and to touch our lives in a way they have yet to be touched, to give us experiences that we have yet to experience. Lord, help us to remember or understand that this all will take place through one name and one name only. Lord, later on, Peter would preach, and that verse comes to my mind today, that there is one name given to us for salvation. And Jesus, today we honor you and acknowledge you, and we ask for your help and for your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds. And that, Lord, we would not become self-absorbed in our routines, even if they are religious in nature. But, oh God, that we would be thinking about how it is that you want to touch our lives so that we might touch someone else. Because certainly, oh God, we realize that Peter could never have done what he did. He would have never had the boldness or the courage to say what he said to that man. And yet he did, because your presence was in his heart and alive and well. And I pray, oh God, for your church today, that your presence would dwell in a very powerful way, and that we would be mindful of what we have and how it is that we need to share what we have by loving acts of kindness and care and tenderness for others. And that you might open up an opportunity then for us to speak words of life and take someone's hand and help them on their next step. Lord God, we commit this time and your word to our hearts. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would bring it around and you would use it to help us and instruct us. And oh God, we entrust the remainder of this day together, our time together, in getting to know one another, in sharing life. Lord, thank you for having us here today. Thank you for your touch upon our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.